All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go to page one. All right, page one of your Bible, Genesis chapter one. Genesis chapter one. We having any ice cream tonight, John?
It's all gone.
It's all gone. Man. No, I didn't eat it all, no. There was some little bit left over. I don't know. What'd you do with that?
It disappeared.
It's gone now? All right. Hey, the truth's coming out, folks. Yeah, the truth is coming out. All right. Let's look at verse 1 of the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And I want to read... I want to read just a couple of verses here, and then I want to speak to you tonight on a message entitled simply, God. God. All right, if you look at verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. That's the Father, God the Father. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, or moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, God. All right, leave your Bible open here, and let's pray, and then the message. Let's ask the Lord to bless us first, though. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight, and I pray that you will bless your word in a great way. I pray, Father, that you'll give us understanding of what we're about to hear. I pray that we will just give our undivided attention to the Word of God. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will apply it and use it. And then as that Word is applied to our hearts, that it will enlighten our hearts and minds. So Father, bless, I pray, what is going to be preached from this pulpit this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There is a verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 6, and I'm sure that just about everybody in this building is familiar with that verse. And that verse says this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And the him is God. Amen. All right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And the him in that verse is the Lord. If you want to be pleasing to God, you must accept what the Bible says about him. Amen. You must accept what the Bible says about him. Now, four times in the Bible, we have a verse that is repeated. It begins in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk, and then it is also repeated in the book of Romans, and then it is also repeated in the book of Galatians and in the book of Hebrews. And this verse reads like this: the just shall live by what? There you go. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, and the just shall live by faith. Now, question, why must we take God by faith? Well, the answer to that question is because of what I just quoted for you at Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so why do we need to accept God by faith? Well, You know, that really should be obvious to all, because none of us were there when God did this thing called creation. None of us were there. So we must take that by faith. All right? I wasn't there. You weren't there. And so we must believe that by faith. You say, well, why must we believe it? Well, because it's in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, when God created the heaven and the earth, none of us were there to witness that event. When God created Adam from the dust of the earth, none of us saw that. None of us saw that. We did not see the devil coming to tempt Adam and Eve in order to get them to sin against God. So God tells us in His Word that we must believe the Bible, everything in this book, by the way of faith. God said it, and we just believe it. All right? It's not that difficult. God says it, and we are just simply to take what God says by faith as the truth. And without a doubt, folks, this beginning statement is one of the greatest truths that any of us will ever have to accept by faith. And that the first four words of the Bible, and listen, if you can accept the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God, amen, then you can accept everything else that's in the Bible. Amen. If you can accept the first four words of the Bible, then you can believe all the rest of it. If we can believe this statement, you know, it would alleviate so many of our problems in this life. But you know, old Satan, the devil, that wicked one, has come along and inspired so many arguments against this first statement. And sadly, people have once again believed the devil's lie. It started all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and Eve believed what the devil said to her. And he's nothing but a liar. That's what Jesus said about him. That's what Jesus said about him. Now, folks, listen, if he wasn't a liar, I don't think the Lord Jesus would have called him one, do you? But he is a liar. And so the devil has inspired so many arguments that has got a man to question through the millennia this explanation of how things came into existence. Now, one of the greatest lies that the devil has ever come up with, He inspired this fellow by the name of Charles Darwin. And Darwin theorized an explanation of how the world came into existence. In his book called The Origin of Species, Darwin took God completely out of the equation. And he proposed a creation that took millions and millions of years to evolve to where we are today. And he said that there was this big bang that threw everything out into the cosmos, and eventually the universe was formed, and then man evolved out of the primordial ooze, and today everything we see is a result of what is continuously in the process of evolving into a higher state. Now, folks, that is the most ridiculous bunch of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe that, you got more faith than I do. Now, you really do. If you have believed that, then you have more faith than me. Now, I did not evolve from an ape or a chimpanzee or any other kind of primate. I did not evolve. I was born. I was made. God made me. God made you. All right? But you see, through evolution, God's out of the picture. God's out of the picture. And that's where unregenerate man wants God. If there is no God, then we don't have to answer to him. We can do what we want. We don't have to follow this book if there is no God. We don't have to know what this book says. If there's no God, then what's the big deal? And so the world jumped right into Darwin's theory face first. I mean, they fell hook, line, and sinker, and even the eye of the pole right into Darwin's removal of God from the issue. And I want to submit to you folks that that was exactly, and it still is today, exactly what men wanted. For if there is no God, then we don't have to worry about God. And they started back in the 60s in the public school system teaching Darwin's theory. And now we are a couple of generations into it, a couple of generations who have been raised without this knowledge of God. And look what it's gotten us. Now remember, folks, how it takes faith to please God. And so you read Origin of Species, and you'll find out there it does not take faith to believe in that. It just doesn't. People believe it; they don't even understand it, but they believe it. Now, if I understand things right, when there is an explosion, chaos is what's left. You ever gone out at night and looked up into the sky? Lo and behold, it's the same thing you looked at 10 years ago, isn't it? 200 years ago, right, John? Huh? I think you see the point, don't you? Our universe is an organized universe. It's not chaos. You can get the newspaper this morning. I don't know why you would, but you could get the newspaper this morning, and you could open it up to the almanac, and it will tell you exactly when the sun will come up and exactly when the sun will go down. Now, how do they know that? Well, they know that because it does the same thing on this day every year. Every year. And it's absolutely amazing how that our universe and our earth and our solar system, everything is in perfect order. Now, folks, if there was a big bang at the beginning and then all of this just evolved over millions and millions of years, that just simply does not fit the laws of nature. Because when something explodes, it does not explode in an organized way. It explodes into chaos. Now, do you have to Have faith to know God? Yes, you absolutely do. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I want us to look tonight at the person in this verse. And then secondly, I want us to look at the practicality of this verse. And then thirdly, I want us to see the praise in this verse. There are three things that I want to show you tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the person in the verse. Moses said, "In the beginning, God." There's the person. Notice Moses does not go into detail and waste time trying to prove the point. You say, well, why doesn't he do that? Because you and I are to accept his premise by faith. Well, why are we to take it by faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right, you see how it works? And Moses did not go into detail and waste time trying to prove the point. All right, now, if I were to dismiss us all right now, and we were to go out on the back, out on the parking lot, and we were to look up into the sky, and we were to see an airplane flying over at, I don't know, 40,000 feet, let's say. And we stood there and we watched that airplane go over and we could see the contrails coming out the back. And we could tell by how many contrails there are. If there's four, it could be a 747. But if it's two, it could be a 737 like Southwest flies, or it could be a 767 or even a 787. Who knows? But it's too far away to see. But wait a minute now. Think about this. What do you naturally assume when you look up in the air and see that airplane flying over? What do you naturally assume? Well, you assume that somebody is in that airplane flying it. It did not just all of a sudden get a mind of its own and take off down a runway and go to 40,000 feet and cruise. All right? It has a design. It has a purpose. I think Pastor Ray has an app on his phone where he can just put that app up and then point at an airplane, and it'll tell you what airline it is, what flight it is, and it'll tell you where it's going, where it came from and where it's going. Is that right? Is that you that had that? I thought so. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think that's pretty cool. And so, listen, folks, don't you naturally think that somebody built that airplane? All right, you surely don't think that in a garage somewhere, some guy had a bucket of bolts and he shook them all up and threw them across the floor and an airplane popped out. No, it took design, didn't it? Somebody had to build that airplane. Somebody had to design that airplane. And then we stand there and look up and see it, and we just automatically think, somebody is flying that airplane. It's not flying itself, folks. Somebody is at the controls. Now, that shows design, does it not? All right, look over here. You see this brown thing over here? What do we call that? A piano, very good. All right, now just look at the piano for a moment. Do you honestly think that one day a huge elephant with 12-foot long ivory tusks was running through the jungle and it ran into a mahogany tree going full speed while it was carrying a roll of barbed wire fencing on its back? And then when the dust settled, that piano was under the tree, perfectly tuned. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, this universe is 10,000 times more complicated than any airplane, and it's 10,000 times more complicated than that beautiful piano over there. And you mean to tell me that you think it just evolved over millions of years? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, folks, there's no way. And when you take God out of your life, or you take God out of life, or you take God out of this universe, you are left with a vacuum that Satan will fill with all kinds of poison and venom that he can muster up. There are two things said of God that cannot be said about any human being on the planet. Now, we're talking about the person of this verse, folks. And it says, in the beginning, God created. And there's two things about that are said of God that cannot be said about any human being on the planet. First is the duration of God. In the beginning, God. The beginning is in reference to the beginning of the universe, whose beginning is the matter that is being discussed in these first couple of chapters. In other words, folks, God was already here in the beginning of the universe. God was already around. He was already here. So understand it this way. All right, look at your Bible. In the beginning of the universe, it was God who created every bit of it. God did it. God was already, and then he created the universe. In fact, folks, the Bible teaches us that our God is eternal. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time that God is dateless. Dateless. You see, each one of us has a day when we began. I began on September the 10th, 1954. But God does not have a begin date. Amen. What is so strange is the fact that that the human mind cannot fully comprehend the eternality of God. Yep. We just cannot fathom that. Our minds cannot relate to it. But then notice, this verse also tells us of the dynamic of God. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, look, folks, we are told here something which we have to simply accept by faith. And that something is this. This eternal God that we're talking about is the one who created the heaven and the earth. And this speaks to us of God's dynamic, of God's power, of God's might, of God's strength. Think about that for a moment, Christian. God created the entire universe all by himself. He didn't get help from anybody. He did not get in touch with the United Nations and get approval. He just created everything. That's our God. That's our God. And you know, for many years now, the world has tried to substitute many things in the place of God. The world says that our universe is the result of the Big Bang. No, the Big Bang was not at the beginning. Read your Bible. The Big Bang is at the end. All right? You see how the devil does? He lies. He distorts. And he knows what this book says. He knows that there is coming, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, he knows that there is coming a day when this earth will be no more. It will dissolve, Peter says. So what's the devil do? Just flips it all around. And men believe it. Shameful, isn't it? But that's how he is. Don't forget, he's a liar. All right? Don't forget that. When you blow something up, folks, it creates chaos. And yet everywhere in our universe, everything in our universe runs in an orderly manner. Sad thing is only man. Man is the only thing running in total chaos today. All right, second thing I want you to notice. All right, the first thing was the person of this verse. But now, secondly, let's notice the practicality of this verse. I want you to notice a couple of very practical things that this verse says. For the first four words of the Bible tell us if we want to do things right, we need to begin with God. In the beginning, God. That's why it works so well. All right? That's why it works so well. Now, if this verse had said, in the beginning, a bunch of scientists, that wouldn't have worked, would it? That would not have worked. How's that little thing go? Once it was a tadpole long and thin, and then it was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey hanging from the tree, but today I'm a professor with a PhD. That's about right, isn't it? That's about right. First, notice, if you want to know the origin of our earth, begin with God. Amen. What's the Bible say? Well, here's where it started. In the beginning, God created. Yes. Right there it is. Yes. In the beginning, God created. Creation by Almighty God makes so much more sense than anything else you're ever going to hear. As a matter of fact, I've said for so long that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe that God spoke the universe into existence. So if you would like to know where the universe came from, begin with God. If you would like to know causes and consequences and the cure of all the evils maladies of our world, just begin with God. If you want to find the solution to the Middle East crisis, here's how you do it. You begin with God. If you would like to know why there are so many languages among the world's populations, begin with God. If you want to know how you can get to heaven when you die, my suggestion would be for you to begin with God. You see, folks, in the beginning, God. Everything begins with God Almighty. And we can read God's word and we can know the answers to the questions that men have sought the answers to for as long as man has been on the planet. It's all right here in the book. In the beginning, God. Back in the 15th century. All right, so that's the 1400s. Folks thought, if you sail out past the horizon, you remember reading about that? Yeah, you're going to fall off. And so they stayed where they could see the shore. But then they started inching out there and they said, I don't see the end of the earth anywhere out here, do you? They said, no, but we can still see land. Don't get too far out. And they were afraid that they were just going to sail out and fall off the earth. And I suppose it would be pretty easy for some folks to feel that way, especially if they did not know God or if they did not have a Bible. They stood on the beach and they looked out to the sea and they could only see so far, and it was a straight line that they were looking at. And so they thought, well, that's the end of the world. All right, now hold your place here. But if you had a Bible, you should have and read your Bible, you would have known something, wouldn't you? All right, take your Bible and go over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. All right, now, I want you all to turn to it. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to look, please, at let's start with verse 21. And verse 21 says, have you not known, ? Have you not heard, ? Hath it not been told you from the beginning, ? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth, ? Well, what are we supposed to know? What are we supposed to hear? Well, here it is. Look at verse 22. It is God, he that sitteth upon the what?
Circle.
Uh-huh. How you like that? And you know, some of those guys that discovered, let's say like North America, and who discovered South America, coming the other direction. You know, some of those guys actually read the Bible and they read Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22 and they said, no, wait a minute, the earth's not flat. The earth is a circle. It's round. And they assumed that if it's a circle and you start here and you go, you're eventually going to come back to where you started. Because the earth is a circle. And so, folks, listen. If you want to understand the world you live in, understand God. He's the creator. He's the designer. He's the one that made it all. Now, think about this, folks. 2,740 years ago, there was a prophet in Israel whose name was Isaiah, and Isaiah told us that God sits on the circle of the earth. Now, how did Isaiah know that? He knew that because God told him. God told him about it. Hey, if you want to have a good day, begin with God. I'm simply trying to get you to see that if you leave God out of your life, you're going to be going through life with more questions than answers. That's right. You'll have more questions than answers. You're going to have more trials than triumphs. And you're going to have more confusion than confidence. Then thirdly, lastly, we saw the person. And then secondly, we saw the practicality. But now thirdly, I want us to see the praise in the text. Look at the praise in this verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You see, the first verse in the Bible is a verse of praise to Almighty God. Amen. It is a verse of praise to God. The first verse in the Bible exalts God for his greatness. You say, well, how's it do that, Pastor? Well, let me ask you a question. Would any of you like to try to create a universe? Huh? Have any takers here? I didn't think so. All right. You say, well, why did anybody want to step up? Because we can't. I mean, even the most powerful and the richest among us cannot create a universe. I mean, man has not even come close to duplicating such a thing. Everything man makes, now think about this, folks, everything man makes, he must begin with something that has already been made. Right? Sure. All right. God made the materials that are in this watch you guys bought me a couple years ago. God made all this stuff. It was man whom God enabled to put it into a watch that keeps time and the date. But it was God that created the elements. Does that make sense to you? All right, now think about this. Think about this. What if I came over to you and I said to you, all right, here's a handful of nothing. All right, so Pastor Brian will give you this handful of nothing. And I want you to take this handful of nothing and create a universe with it. All right, we're just all going to stand back and watch you. I mean, it's not going to take long before you go, psst, psst, Pastor, Pastor, what? I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't make a universe. You know why you can't make a universe? Because he's not God. Only God can do that. You see, you could not even begin such a production because there is not a one of us who can create anything from nothing. And yet that is what God did. If you will look at verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in other words, folks, there was nothing. And then God, out of nothing, created the heaven and the earth. That's awesome, isn't it? That's our God, folks. That's our God. I mean, God created everything from absolutely nothing. And I submit to you, church, that that is power beyond understanding. That is greatness, if there ever was greatness. Now, what we consider greatness and what we praise is so ridiculous and futile because it's not greatness at all. But what man praises, it's sad. We get all excited when someone hits a ball or kicks a ball or shoots a ball or catches a ball. As a matter of fact, we pay people who throw, catch, shoot, kick, punt a ball millions of dollars. And they only do it for a few weeks out of the year, most of the time. And yet we pay them millions of dollars. Teachers, they're the ones not be paid $1 million. Yeah, only the good ones. Well, only the ones that work at Carroll Christian. I'm a little prejudiced in that area. I mean, some guy kills a cow, and then cuts up his hide, stuffs it with rags, takes a needle and thread and stitches it up, gives it to a fella who stands 60 feet away from another fella, and then that guy throws that ball as hard as he can. And the other guy that he's throwing it at takes a wooden bat and tries to hit the ball. And then we pay him millions of dollars to throw a ball or to hit a ball. Man, is our world messed up or what?
Yes.
And yet we make idols out of these people, don't we? Some little foul-mouthed girl with green hair writes a song, and they make idols out of her. Put her picture up in their room. Wait a minute. Write a song, create a universe. Duh. I mean, in my mind, creating the universe is a whole lot greater feat than writing a song. Especially when she mumbles through it and you can't understand half what she says anyway. But the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, folks, that is something worth going nuts over.
Amen.
That is something worth getting excited over. We get excited over things that won't matter two hoots in 2 days. And we know that's true, don't we? But yet we put people on pedestals and then don't even give God a second thought. But folks, let me reiterate it again. God created the heaven and the earth. And when he did, he created it from nothing. I'm sure you all saw the story, and I've talked about it on Wednesday nights when we were studying Genesis on Wednesday nights. But you remember that many years ago, NASA sent this thing up called the Hubble telescope, and they pointed that telescope at through the decades now, they've sent thousands and thousands, probably millions of pictures back from that telescope. Beautiful pictures. And back a couple of years ago, somebody said, let's find a dark spot to the naked eye, and we'll turn Hubble to that dark spot, and we'll just start taking pictures. And so They took picture after picture after picture after picture for weeks. And then they put it in a computer and put it all together. And Hubble gave a shot of the of one little section, one little section of the universe. And they call it Hubble's deep field. Deep field. One little space. I mean, tiny. And they shined it out there and took pictures. And when it came back, they saw in that deep field, universe, in that little snapshot of the universe, they saw galaxies more than they could count. And it came, one of them that has some sense said that it proves that the universe is endless. It's endless. They went way off into space, way off, light years away, and just kept snapping pictures. And when it all came back, here was a spiral galaxy over here, and over here was another galaxy, and there was one that was facing the camera, and there was one that was parallel to the camera, and you could only just see through it. There were galaxies that were spiral in nature. They looked like one of those stars that the martial artists throw, and just spinning. Absolutely gorgeous. Unbelievable. And the scientists sat there and looked at that. But remember now, in their minds, no God. No God. Now, if you want a sight, just Google, go on YouTube, and type, hit the search button, and just type in Hubble's Deep Field, F-I-E-L-D, field. And you're going to be amazed at what you see. Now, here's what they did. You ready? Here's what they did. They looked at all that back through there, and here's what they said. Oh, looky there. This was the beginning of the universe. What? Remember now, no God. Got to get God out of the picture. We don't believe in God. But they have to explain that. So how do they explain it? They explain it by saying, see, we are just now getting a glimpse of what happened in the Big Bang. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're looking at what God Almighty did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, all of it. And God knew that in 2016 or whenever it was, that man would be so advanced in his understanding and knowledge that he could take a satellite and send up a telescope and magnify the view and send that out into space. And God said, I'm just going to show you how great I am. You looked at the pictures that Hubble took of your galaxy. You looked at what Hubble took of your solar system. But wait till you see my handiwork. And they didn't know what to do, still don't know what to do with it. So they just scratch your heads and say, oh, well, that's us seeing what right after the Big Bang. I don't think so, Skippy. I just don't think so. Or Dr. Skippy, whoever you are. I just don't think so. In the beginning, God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts this evening. Help us to see your person, eternal, perfect God. Help us to see that. Father, help us to see the practicality of this verse. Help us to see the praise in this verse. And Father, to realize who you are and what you have done for each one of us. And I pray that you'll strengthen our faith tonight as a result of what we have heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, please strengthen our faith tonight. And I just pray that you'll help us to go from here this week more excited and more determined than ever to live for Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen.